Welcome to Milkmaids Podcast, the unconventional homesteading podcast. I'm Stephanie from Wyoming.
And I'm Tara from Montana. Join us each week as we take a deep dive into an inclusive homesteading topic from canning, dairy animals, gardening, animal husbandry, and everything in between.
Hey, Tara.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going.
It's going.
Going. Instead of happened, going.
Happens. Happens. That's my favorite. Well, we haven't recorded in a while, so there's some updates. So let's, instead of small talking, get right into the shout out and then we'll do it.
Okay. Our shout out this week goes to Seed Mail Seed Co. Seed Mail Seed Co. was started by Stephanie in June of 2017 because Stephanie thought all gardeners across all different skill levels could be together in their love of gardening and growing. And Stephanie spent months swapping and researching seeds in order to bring affordable seeds to everyone on her website. And one thing I really loved is that she states that gardens have the ability to transform your space and life, which I absolutely agree with. And what I also found very helpful is that she has categories for her seeds, which can make it easier for those that find their garden fitting into these categories. And you can just shop on her site a little bit easier that way. For example, she has a category for small space gardens, which contain seeds that will do better in small spaces like kales, lettuce varieties, special tomatoes, and radishes, because you don't want to like get a huge, giant, indeterminate
tomato bush. Tomato is so huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a determinate one that just won't do good in a container.
Right.
So having those categories is so helpful. And she also hosts a Patreon under the name Professor Mint, which I think is adorable.
That is cute.
Which is absolutely helpful at all levels. And if you are interested in learning more, we will have the Seed Mail Seed Co. website and the Patreon website in our show notes. But the website is seedmailseed.co. And you can check her social media links at Seedmail Seed Co. and Mint 2 Grow. So Mint, the number 2, and Grow. And she's on Instagram.
Seedmail Seed, like USPS mail.
Oh, yeah. M-A-I-L.
Right. I-L, yes.
Yes. Her Patreon is Mint 2 Grow. If you type that on Patreon, you can easily find it. I just like the levels like that. And having somebody who's really experienced help you when you're unsure is so valuable.
Oh, totally.
I've been meaning to do her company for a while because it is so fascinating and she's just really has a lot to offer.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Sweet. Well, go check her out. If you want to send us a shout out, send us anything through the emails. Yeah. Milkmaids
or
podcast.
The Facebook messages.
Yes. First, yes. The emails. Milkmaidspodcast@gmail.com. Facebook or Instagram at Milkmaids Podcast. Rate, review, subscribe. That helps us out a lot.
Yes, and we've had people have been reaching out saying that they love the show, and I posted something today about how we can't just get our shit together, but we're here now. Like, it's just one of those things. But we got a message today on our Milkmaids one, and I answered it. Sometimes I don't tell people, like, who it is answering what. You're really good about that, Stephanie, if you answer somebody.
Oh, sometimes I do, because, yeah, it drives me insane. Not necessarily, well, kind of, actually. I like to know. And like people with,
Aries
joint, right. To have to know people with like joint Facebook accounts.
Oh yeah.
Like you never know who you're talking to.
Yeah. That one's weird.
And then I feel like I'm like always talking in like a weird, like almost third person, but not third person. Cause I'm not the one with the joint account.
I'm not the
so
one.
I'll be like, I think I'm talking to Bill. So hi, if this is Bill, you know what I mean? Like, it's like this right. Weird sort of. Yeah, anyways,
right.
Side rail.
Well, Tiffany messaged our Facebook account and me, Tara, I think I did put my, nope, I did not say who it was. I answered you, Tiffany. And she says that she was driving her mom and her baby goat to a checkup at the vet. I assume that the baby goat was only being checked out by the vet and not the mom. The mom was just along for the ride.
Right.
But they were listening to the podcast and, you know, at the end of the podcast, I either put a goat
right.
Or a cow.
Yep. Listen, my dog to loves this. That.
Yeah, your dog. So that's the first thing I thought of too. And she said that there was a goat baw at the end and her goat started bawing back.
Oh,
trying to talk to the podcast goat. Isn't that adorable?
The podcast goat.
I'd like to know that goat.
Oh my gosh, that's adorable.
So that was really funny. It really is.
Yeah, my dog loves them too, the random podcast animals.
Yeah. I can't listen to it because I edit it. And by the time you're done editing, you're just so tired of, I love you.
Yeah.
But like hearing the same thing two times is, it gets overwhelming. Because I'll pick it apart too because I'm a perfectionist, but you know how that goes.
Yeah, that's probably the bigger problem with listening and listening and listening.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about your shit?
No. Thanks for listening. Happy milking.
Bye.
No, I don't know what my shit is. I don't remember like the last time we recorded.
It was prior to the avian flu.
Oh yeah, that shit.
Scare.
Well, I got the chicks. Did I have the chicks?
No, it was before that.
Okay.
No, wait.
Either way,
the day after.
Mention it one more time.
Right.
If we want.
The chicks are involved.
We have chicks. We got our Cornish Cross for the year. We're only doing one batch. So we got them. And yeah, it was a couple days later that we have this one woman in our community, in our neighborhood, that's like, she just is like our top. She's like the community's Google. Like she just knows everything and lets everybody know everything. Nicely. I know.
Yeah.
I don't think she listens. If she does, like it's a great attribute. So she calls up at night, which I was like, this is weird, right? And then she's like, I shouldn't say this because I'm such an idiot. She's like, hey, are you missing any chickens? Or have you lost, that's what she said, have you lost any chickens? And I'm like, oh, because she lives right behind us.
Oh, okay.
Granted, it's like, I don't know, maybe 30 acres away because we have 20, they have a little bit, right?
Right.
So, and I was like, oh, no. I was like, I was just out there. I thought everybody was there. Are they white ones? And she's like, no, like, if any died. Like, oh my God. I thought she had stray chickens at her house.
That's the first thing that would cross my mind, too.
Right. I'm like, I don't think they were mine. Another neighbor, not her, another neighbor lost his entire flock of 32 birds in 12 hours. And at that point in time, no one really knew what it was, but you know it's avian flu.
Right.
So that's cool. Through her calling everybody in the neighborhood to be like, hey, this is what I know, whatever, she ended up unearthing, I think, one or two other stories of people who are like, oh yeah, so-and-so's neighbor's cousin, so-and-so, right? That kind of thing. Lost all their birds a couple weeks ago and just didn't know what it was. Like, so apparently avian flu has been here for quite some time and nobody decided to report it. But my one neighbor who has it does. So, or he did report it. So anyhow, the state vet came out. They sent off a couple, I'm not really clear, birds to get tested. Turns out it absolutely was avian flu. And the state vet came out and basically just gave me kind of a talking to about this is what it is. And these are like biosecurity steps you could take, which I was already doing. So I locked our birds inside the coop and made it kind of airtight, like not airtight, obviously, but as far as letting any other birds in. Because for those of you who don't know, avian flu travels via the wild birds. So, well, it could travel via any kind of bird, but the wild birds are the problem. Specifically, the waterfowl is the biggest issue.
Yeah.
Because the waterfowl isn't getting affected by it. So they're just really good reservoirs for it, is what the state vet
said. Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because otherwise they would just be dead. Like, it happens so quickly.
Oh, okay. That's what I was wondering.
Right? Yeah.
So the waterfowl are carrying it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's got a couple bald eagles, a couple owls, but they're not seeing a large drop off in any other population, really. So,
okay.
Anyhow,
I read somewhere that it can't affect hummingbirds because we have, I'm not joking, like 100 hummingbirds.
Right. So, I have not checked into hummingbirds.
Yeah. I just read that they can't be affected. So
weird. I don't know why.
I don't know. Maybe they just don't get close to where, I don't know. They're not near where other birds are, I guess. Ever. Do you ever see a hummingbird next to another bird?
Well, I don't know about next to, but the poop like is the problem.
Yeah, I know. It's just, I don't know.
I'm trying to get a picture of it. I've got like a real life bird that's trying to eat or do something with my hummingbird feeder.
What?
It's like a gray and yellow one. I don't know what it's doing.
It was raised by hummingbirds, maybe.
I have no
idea.
I've never had a regular bird do anything with my hummingbird feeders.
But oh, that's this interesting.
One, I've like caught him on there like four times today. Like, what are you doing? But then he sees me and zips out of there later days. Yeah. Wow. I don't know.
Me neither.
Anyway, so the point of the story is that keep your birds locked up. So we got everything like fenced in, all the little nooks and crannies where the Tweety birds could get in. And then I have I put my Crocs out there because they're like really easy to clean and wipe down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I have Crocs out there. I have a can of Lysol spray and I have hand sanitizer and nothing from the outside goes in. So hopefully, but if you have any sort of, so this neighbor has a duck pond because he has ducks.
Oh.
And so he theorizes that that contributed because wild birds will land in his duck pond.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's just like a little tidbit, but really ducks and geese fly over your property all the time. I don't know about yours, mine.
Yeah, no, so. We just had wild ducks across in the neighbor's irrigation ditch. So it just
you can't stop them from flying over your property. And the flying over is fine as long as they don't poop. So get out there and train your wildlife, please.
Right.
Anyhow, so far everything's been fine. I did lose one chicken and I about died a thousand.
It was seriously like the day after.
Yeah. So it was a couple.
The state vet showed up.
Oh, right? After the state vet showed up. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was a couple days after I found out about the situation. So we had our roosters completely separated because there was something going on with the roosters. Not disease assholes. Related, but yeah, they were just being assholes to the chickens. So, and I think that was affecting our lay and everything else. So we had them separated. We made the decision that by having multiple coops, we're doubling our chance of infection. Because if one bird gets it on your property, the entire property's culled, right?
Yeah.
So we decided to cull two roosters, put one rooster back in the coop, and then, but we did like a quarantine. We quarantined him indoors and then moved him over. But anyhow, so the ladies had not had a rooster for quite some time. I'm going to be as appropriate as I can for the rest of the story. It's hard.
It's so hard.
I go out there and it's like day two with the rooster, maybe there's a dead chicken and my heart just sank as soon as I opened that door. I'm like, there they go.
Right.
Like they're done.
Right.
But it was like 7 o'clock at night. Anyways, I went back to the barn and got latex gloves and then went back and did an inspection of what I could see. Right. And her whole vent was prolapsed, which looking at the symptoms, like that didn't seem like a common symptom, but it can be anything, you know?
Right.
So the two theories are at that point, 7 o'clock at night, by 7 o'clock in the morning, 80% of the coop should be dead.
Right.
Fast. If it's avian flu, that's what I'm looking at. If it follows how my neighbors went.
Right.
I'm really probably more like 100% of the coop will be dead 12 hours later. So it's like, there's nothing I'm going to do today, right? Like nothing.
No.
So I just let it go because my other theory was that we had some sort of rooster induced damage. The poor girl. We all pay the price at some points. So anyways, turns out that theory was correct, I think, or there was just something weird and her vent decided to pop out of her body.
It happens to the best of us.
Every once in a while.
Our vents fall out. It's not funny. That's I'm not sorry funny to laugh.
After just having a child.
And your vent.
Prolapse is nothing to joke about. So anyways. God, how many people just tuned out?
Right.
So anyways, the rest of the coop was fine. But that was my like scare of the whole situation. Everybody's still locked up. I'm scheduled to put the chicks out on pasture next week or this weekend, this coming weekend, a couple days.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty scared about it.
Yeah, I don't blame
you. Somebody's going to get hit, if anything.
Right.
And I worry, this sounds so mean, I worry less about the meat birds, but those Delawares are like everything to me.
Yeah, I know. You worked really hard to get those lines.
Yeah. And it's scary. Like, hopefully she doesn't get hit, the breeder of the Delawares. Just like a crazy, crazy thing.
Yeah.
So, if you care to know, it's 150 days if you do get hit with avian flu before you can have birds on your property again. I don't think that's like a law enforcement thing. That's just like a how long it takes to die sort of thing.
That they know of. I feel like it's such a fresh new thing, kind of like how COVID was. Like they had no idea. First they said, it has to be like 2 weeks of quarantine. And then it was like down to 10 days and then 5 days or something.
Right.
But they don't really know. That was motivated
by other things too.
Right. But I'm saying like they're just taking every precaution possible.
Right.
So the 150 days is for every precaution possible.
Right.
Type situation.
Yeah. So, well, anyways, now you know. That's that. I'm drying off goats, so that's exciting. Everybody's finally out on pasture, so that's exciting. The garden is coming around.
It's been cold there, though.
It's been a wonderful spring. It's been cold and rainy and snowy. And snowy and snowy and snowy and snowy and snowy. And now it's not snowy, but now it's just windy and rainy. But we won't put anything even remotely sensitive in the ground for another 3 or 4 weeks, probably.
Yeah.
The garden right now is mostly just cleanup. But I didn't even send you a picture. The asparagus, I meant to, but when I got back in the house and didn't. We looked at the asparagus and it was like barely peeking through, maybe a half an inch out of the ground. And then 2 days later, it's like a foot tall.
Wow.
It's really cool. Have you ever grown asparagus?
Yeah.
Do you like asparagus?
I love asparagus.
I was going to say, Brian and I were talking about how it's like might be our favorite vegetable. Broccoli is mine.
Yeah.
I think, but asparagus is right up there.
I like Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, I do too. And we usually have a good year for them if we take care of them. But anyways, this asparagus patch we started from seed from my uncle, great uncle Dick's patch. He saved seed and... So it's like an heirloom to our family. So it was just really cool.
That's amazing.
They're not ready to eat. They're still a little thin. This is year three for them, but we started from seed. So with crowns, you could harvest by year three, but not with seeds. So,
okay.
There's not any that are really big enough to deal with. And if there was, we could eat like one. We could share it.
But
split it in exciting. Half. It's exciting.
Yeah.
So, garden cleanup, got the potatoes in. And we did a ton of cover crop this year.
Yeah.
We split the garden. So half of it is cover crop and half of it is veggies. So we did 4 rows of just mammoth red clover, which I know you guys have a ton of in Montana.
Yes.
We have a little bit grows, of it in the wild, but not much.
Yeah. It just grows around the creek especially. Mm-hmm. But in my yard, it's almost all clover now.
My grandma. It used to be all over her yard. And I think I have said this on the podcast before, but she used to send us out and have us pick them and she'd cook the flowers for us.
Yeah. And sugar.
Yep. Butter. Yeah. Anyways, but so we did that part for the legume nitrogen fixing, part for the bees, for the flowers.
Yeah.
And then there's this other crop that we planted. It's called sweet clover. I keep looking out there like somehow that's going to make it talk better. Sweet clover, which like in some areas, I guess, can kind of be problematic in pastures, but it's supposed to be like a honey making machine.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it takes 2 years to get going, but I'm excited for that one.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I have to be careful with the clover because that can cause bloat too. And the way my situation works, I have my entire property's fenced, so I just let my 2 little cows out sometimes because they're not going to go anywhere or damage anything. They're really good.
Right.
But I don't want them to just eat the clover.
So yes. I have to be kind of careful with
it. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it's just one of those things. Otherwise, I probably would replace all the grass with clover for the bees. But, you know, it's a balance.
Yep. How are things going for you?
Last time we updated, I lost 1 chicken to ascites and I lost another one to ascites. And if it happens to you, just know that if you open them up, you're going to know.
Yeah.
Because it just like spurts water everywhere. It's like a yellow orangey water too.
Yeah.
And then today I was messaging you because one has like a closed eye and I thought it was sick because I only saw the one eye closed. And you know how a chicken gets before they kind of
glaze out.
They just close their eyes. So I was like, oh shit, another one, seriously?
Yeah.
But it's just literally just the one eye because she ran away from me.
Yeah.
I was like, what, one eye?
Never mind. She had to
figure it out.
Hit a blade of grass or something just right.
Yeah.
A little dinosaur eyeball.
But it's been cold here and they're all cold. And I'm just nervous. Like when the temperature is hot, like it was 70 degrees and then it just drops like that. It's really bad on animals. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What animal it is. And then we also got our second batch of Cornish cross. So those are the first batch of Cornish cross are getting butchered next weekend. And then we got another batch this week. So they're just babies. And we did get them from Freedom Ranger Hatchery. And my friend was like, oh, you got more Freedom Rangers. It's like, no, they sell Cornish cross as well.
Yeah.
So that can be kind of confusing. But when I ordered them in January.
Yeah.
And I wanted this date specifically. And Freedom Ranger Hatchery is the only one that had it full or open, I guess.
Right.
Whereas Murray McMurray, I got my order in early, but they didn't have this date.
Yeah.
So I had to use Murray McMurray for the first one and then Freedom Ranger Hatchery for this one.
Right.
If anyone cares. Sometimes you have to do that.
Yeah.
But they're doing good. And then we moved the twins' 4-H pigs to just like the training area, which was a nightmare to try and get them across the creek.
Right.
Nobody wants to cross the creek.
It's a pig eater.
Yeah, it really is.
Right.
Even the big sows won't, they want to use the bridge, but now they understand to go across the bridge.
Right.
Like you could literally, you wouldn't even step into it. You're so long, you could just step over it.
The creek that Tara's talking about is like a foot wide, most of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's spots that are a little wider, but it's like.
You could literally cross. And the funny thing about pigs is that they're in the water all the time. They want to dump their water. They want to be in the water all the time.
I'm like,
what is wrong with you? But
they're all scary, about it.
You know. And then Dixie's 2 months out for her calf. I just saw her from the side today, and I was like, oh, my God, her udder looks huge. Which is concerning because it shouldn't be huge. Now that means something's wrong, but I went over there and it was fine. I was like, what am I, why does it look huge to me? But it wasn't huge. I don't know what's going on. I just want to make problems in my head. Right. That's all I want
to
do.
Have to create them.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then I did get my carrots and onions in, and I don't know if I said this on the podcast, but my tomatoes and peppers are going to be in the greenhouse permanently.
Yeah, I think you did. You at least told me.
Yeah, they're doing good and I don't have to cover them and it's been freezing.
You already have them in the greenhouse?
Yeah.
Cool, cool, cool.
Well, I have a different temperature.
No, I know. That's crazy to me. I forget.
Yeah, some people have put them in the ground already.
That's insane. Which,
yeah, they've been having to cover them at night because it's just unusually cold this year. So I'm so glad I didn't have to do that.
All right, so that brings us to our main topic somehow.
All that doom and gloom.
I can't figure out how to make this transition, so.
Okay, so we did do this topic last year. It's money-making ideas, but there's just so many ideas out there that we wanted to cover in order to provide you with the best chance of making money off of your farm or homestead if that's something you're into. And if it's not something you're into, that's totally fine, too.
Yeah, some people like to just homestead, and if you have the means to just do that, I highly recommend it.
That's fine.
It's delightful.
Right. Yes. Can't beat it. It is really. But firstly, we're going to talk about hosting classes. And this might sound intimidating, but almost all of our listeners are so good at something. Is it milking a herd of goats and making cheeses? Maybe it's starting seedlings. Or maybe you want to host an on-farm butchering class. And what could that look like? Or believe it or not, these are things that quite a few people would be interested in because so many new people are starting from scratch. And we have all been there. And I know for a lot of people, learning in person is really the best way.
Yeah. And also, depending on what class you're doing, like say you want to do a butchering class, for example, like I'm going to have people come here and do a butchering class for chickens, right? So we do the class and then they're like, oh, this is all really cool and I'm glad I came, but I don't have a plucker. So... oh, well, did you know that we rent our equipment? Right. Or or like things like that where it's like, hey, this is how you make your own yogurt. Oh, by the way, do you need some raw milk? You know what I mean? Or whatever. Like it is more than just getting money on the class.
John Siskovich sells one of his books too. So you could do that. It doesn't even have to be that expensive. You could print it out on your own printer, staple it, and be like, here's the information. Because a lot of people are looking for that information. And there's no reason you need to give it away for free. Correct. Your time is worth money. And here's just how I would do it personally. If I were to host a class on my property, I would check with my insurance first. And if you have homeowner's insurance, make sure you are covered for any people on your property. And if you do choose to have it on your property, this is something I would definitely just dot your I's and cross your T's. Because we know how people can be in these situations. And look into getting people to sign just a simple waiver just to protect you from being sued or liable for something. Because they could trip over an uneven cement sidewalk and sue you. So you just want to be really, really careful. And next, you really want to push advertising for whatever it is you plan on hosting. And you can do this several ways. Social media is probably one of the best ways. But you can think about making a really good poster utilizing the free app Canva. You use that, don't you, Steph?
I live on Canva. I've actually been hired as a graphic designer for a local pollinator club.
Yes. You made a beautiful poster, too.
Cracks me up. This lady keeps introducing me as the graphic designer.
You're like, thank you.
I'm like, I YouTubed a couple things.
But seriously, even if you YouTube a 10-minute tutorial and you figure it out yourself, people are willing to pay for that.
All of a sudden, you're a graphic designer.
You're a graphic designer. And also, that goes to ADHD, too. You pick up on things really well.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
And this is just an editing app, and you can make a poster that can be shared digitally and also printed out, which I know for my area is super helpful because I could hang it in the feed store, no problem. And people can see that, call me, and we can chat about the class to set it up.
Yeah.
And if you think it's financially wise, you can have it published in the newspaper. And don't forget about Craigslist and also like your Facebook Marketplace or maybe your just your local group.
Yeah.
Do you have a local group, Steph?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like the local where everybody sells and complains and starts drama.
I was just going to say, yeah. It's election, so everyone's bitching on there.
Yeah.
You'll find it.
You'll find it. It has already found you, probably.
Right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You want to charge accordingly, and if you're planning on doing a 5-hour class, you charge more than someone who is doing a 1-hour tour. And really think about a price that will suit what you are planning to do and teach and what it costs for your insurance, supplies, everything. Think of that when you put it out there. And this is what I would suggest as a top tier suggestion. Put together an outline, not only for you, but for the people taking the class. And you're going to want to put all the resources on there that you yourself use and what you think might be beneficial to the people attending the class. This can include books, videos on YouTube, websites, game boards. That's what I did when I had the foraging tour here, mm-hmm. is I just put together an entire outline. And actually the funny thing about it is that my extension agent, who's also my friend, liked it so much she put it on her website because awesome. It just had so many resources. Yeah. That's just the type of person I am. But those are so helpful for people because sure, you can take a class in person, but 9 out of 10 times you're going to forget a lot of that if it's not right on their paper for you to remember, read, and refresh your memory.
Right.
And when you do this, you want to leave your contact info and offer consultations after the fact. Remember that your time is valuable. So if somebody wants free information from you, just go so far with it if you want to. But I would suggest charging for consultations off-farm. Yeah. As well. So say you're making something like soap and offering a class like that. Don't forget to include the cost of supplies into the fee for students and advertise that they can pick up their soap from you in a couple of days to take it home. And if people receive a goodie with their class, they're more likely to attend and pay a better price.
Totally. So let's talk about selling seedlings next, which I've done. So as we know, growing seedlings isn't for everyone, including Tara.
Yeah, I just don't like it.
Yeah, it's so sad. Do you think if you had more room, you would like it?
I think so, yeah.
I think that's a limiting factor for you.
Right. The more things in my house, the angrier I am.
Yes.
It's a graph.
it's very a pie easily chart.
Can be measured. Yes. So I have some seedlings in my greenhouse now, and I love them. I love to go check on them and everything. But in my house with 3 kids
and limited space,
it's hard.
Yeah, totally. It just, right. It always surprises me because you're so good at gardening in general and nurturing things anyways. So seedlings are awesome though, because if you're someone who's good at growing them and have the space for them, you can turn it into some pretty good money. So say you start out with an extra tomato plant to sell. Well, first off, before we get too far, you need a nursery license.
Is that across the whole U.S.?
No.
Okay.
Definitely in Wyoming. I don't know about the rest of the states. But in order to sell them here, I have to have a nursery stock license.
Holy shit. I didn't know that.
$25 for the whole year.
You just fill out
a form and send it in. They try and make it sound scary. Like they can come inspect you at any point. But keep in mind, they're talking about people who are like selling like lavender plants that they'll keep for 3 years and then sell. And basically what they're looking for is anything invasive. So invasive bugs, invasive weeds in your plants. Where if you're just selling seedlings, like they would have to arrive at your house at the exact couple weeks that you have seedlings, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then because you're not over, you're using potting, like you wouldn't have invasive weeds in your seedlings.
No.
Right. So you'll be fine. But anyways, yeah, just dot your I's and cross your T's on that one because that
you
is
can
a thing.
Call your local extension agent too,
yes,
and ask what the rules are for your state because every state's different. Like here, they don't care.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So say you start out with extra tomato plants to sell. So tomato seeds cost about $7 for a pack of 50. That's expensive though.
Anyways. I just went with like the organic good. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. Quote unquote.
Good ones. That's on the high end, definitely.
Yes.
So if you have a good quality potting soil, it costs you $8 to fill 50 trays. The tray cost you about $9. These can be used again and again. So that means your total cost, not including electricity or the lights, is $24. And let's say you had 45 plants survive and you're keeping 15, so selling 30, and you'd like to pay for your plants, you're keeping it. So if, or it costs you 80 cents per plant, not including your time. Say you want to make $15 an hour, so you add that to your cost. Let's add 50 cents per plant for your time. Now we're at $1.30. So, and that we times by 40 equal the cost you should be selling your starts at. So each tomato plant could be sold at $5.20 to earn you a good profit. And if you sold all 30 of those plants, your total would be $156, which taking away your cost of goods at $24 would be a profit of $132. So, and then you can do that with not just tomatoes either. You could do it with anything you're growing, just grow extra.
Right.
And a good way to do this is to carry a variety that no one else carries. I know in your local Walmart, they're typically carrying varieties that are popular in most climates, but say you live in an area that is not just, or that's just not great for those varieties. That happens all the time. Research a variety, like at our store. Remember when we were, and your kids were like,
flabbergasted. I want this.
And it was elephant ears that are like for Florida.
I was shook to my core. Uh-huh. They grow in like zone 7.
Right.
We're literally in zone 2-3.
Zone 2-3, right, exactly.
But no, you can find elephant ears in Wyoming.
Yeah.
It's supply.
Really something. So anyways, find which varieties work well in your areas. Advertise them like crazy. The other thing that people really ate up from me is like just like weird stuff. This goes with selling produce too, like the dragon's tongue green beans.
Yes, they love, people go crazy for those.
Yeah, they're like a white colored bean with purple spots on them. Like they're the wildest, like a Dr. Seuss. You wouldn't even believe that they're real.
Right.
And then the number of people who like don't know that purple carrots exist. I've made so much money off of people buying purple carrots because they didn't know it was a thing.
Exactly.
So those are the kind of, you know, carrots and
purple
beans,
potatoes,
bad examples for things to sell as seedlings.
Right. But don't sell those as seedlings.
Right. But that's what you kind of got to figure out is some things that are kind of weird and unique.
Yeah.
People wouldn't be able to get. Anyways, if you make your social media posts on your items professional, people are more likely to purchase from you. Again, use Canva.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are not sponsored by Canva, but maybe we should be.
Should be.
Because we are tech. What did you call
you? Oh, I'm a graphic designer.
You're a graphic designer.
I am a graphic designer. LLC.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm a graphic designer.
I watched 3 YouTube videos.
So kind of on the same line of thinking, we have selling compost. Have you ever thought of doing this stuff?
Yes. It's very hard for me. It's not very hard. It's harder than a significant portion of the country to compost here. You have to have a pile that is the size of a house in order for it to build enough heat.
Yeah.
To combat the outdoor temperatures. Cold. It can be done, but frequently we're spreading weed seed all over our garden because we don't get it hot enough.
Okay. I didn't know that.
So if the thought with compost is if you get it hot enough, it's going to kill all the seeds, right?
Yeah.
We would have to work very hard to make sure that happens. And we can't sell other people weedy compost.
Right.
We just take a hula hoop to it and rip them out. It's not a big deal, but
yeah.
Anyways, but yeah, no, it's great. Maybe you're going to say this too, but like what I should do is I should collect my little goat poops, or if you had rabbits and did rabbit poops, because you don't even need to compost those and people will buy that by the bag.
Yeah. Yeah. And same with duck poop. Yeah. I'm going to get into that.
Yeah.
What? What are you laughing about already?
Duck poop, semicolon. I'm going to get into that. That's a t-shirt.
Only you would think of that.
Duck poop. I'm going to get into that. That's exactly what you said.
With my two ducks.
I'm going to get into that. Maybe wait for a little while for this avian flu to pass before you get into the duck poop, Tara.
Duck poop. The worst poop to get into.
Right. Literally any other poop would be fine.
Okay. Okay. But like Steph said, you can specialize in specific types. For example, steer manure or rabbit manure, or do a various mix that is aged.
Do you think steer manure is a weird thing?
I do, because like who is just like only castrated
males
can be here.
Right. Only castrated male cows can poop into this compost pile.
Only steers. It's so weird. Nobody says cow manure.
No, I know.
Always steer manure.
Steer manure.
That is your question for the day. If somebody gets to the bottom of this, I would love to know.
No idea.
Because most of them are dairies that are selling this. And we literally know they're all cows or heifers.
That's the only use for the steers, maybe.
I mean, besides me, okay.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question, Steph. Yeah. But I was really stuck on this idea that you have to be able to load someone's truck up with compost or have a trailer to deliver it. But that simply is just not the case. Yeah. You have to think smaller in this area. You could easily offer your compost to people for pickup and they could load their own 5-gallon buckets, say for about $3 a bucket or less. And I think one way to go about this is by making a big deal about an on-farm compost pickup day. Just have one day.
Yeah.
Where you sell this compost at a good price. And say, for example, you're collecting rabbit waste and adding it to the pile all winter long. And you can continually advertise throughout the winter and plug the benefits of using rabbit manure on your garden. Again, Canva comes in really handy here, right? Because you can put 3 bullet points on there about why rabbit poop is so good for your garden.
Yeah.
And then schedule a pig up day.
Well...
A pickup day. Schedule a big pickup day. Have road signs explaining the date and the time. A fill your bucket day. And if you're lucky enough to have the equipment to sell compost by the trailer load, you can charge accordingly to these services. Take into account your gas and time and offer a good deal if someone buys a certain number of trailer loads. Like say you buy 4 loads, you get the 5th load free.
Right.
I like this method of making money. What?
How are you going to collect the duck poop? I can't get over it.
You're out there with like a kitty litter scooper. Only have two
ducks. Kitty litter scooper. Josh bag.
She can't move past this. She can't move past it. It would be enough for like one house plant. I mean,
you just said it like it was your real plan. Which great if it is.
I'm sarcastic. I'm sarcastic. She can't move past the duck poop.
Go for it.
Where was I?
I don't know. I've been thinking about other things.
But I do like this method of making money because you're utilizing what a lot of us have already have an excess of shit. Right?
Right.
And I know in my local groups, you see quite a few gardeners looking for good quality compost that doesn't come in a bag. And the best part is your compost is diverse.
Yeah.
And of all the ways to make money, this is the best passive way to make money and requires very little, if any, money to start up.
Also, be very careful where you're getting your hay from if you're going to do compost, because you could kill somebody's entire garden by putting certain...
Exactly.
If your hay has been sprayed with certain chemicals, it doesn't break down and then it will prevent germination. Right. So anyways, just something to know. So next, we're going to talk about prefabricated structures or homesteading equipment. So we've all seen those prefabricated very, very, very small chicken coops offered at the feed store. Honestly, they're made out of the cheapest possible parts and offered for a huge markup. And if you're handy with tools, you could easily make prefabricated hay storage unit, chicken tractors, coops, housing, mobile units, greenhouses, whatever you can think of. And another way to approach this is to gather free odds and ends of scrap wood or metal. And you would be really surprised how many things you can use to make a chicken tractor, for example. Tara's entire chicken tractors used or made using scrap pieces from a broken trampoline and scrap parts for construction.
Only the best for us.
Right. Well, we use scrap stuff all the time, honestly.
Yeah.
So, and you may think it's being cheap, but I know for like-minded individuals, consuming less and repurposing materials is a huge selling point. And if it were me, I would start making things that work on your homestead, like a chicken tractor, and then offering it on Facebook Marketplace or hanging up flyers in your local feed store. And something like a small chicken tractor can go for over $200 easily. And if you're able to purchase the finishing products for it, like the tarp, tie-down feeders, waters, it's a complete setup for those homesteaders who aren't as handy but still want to be able to raise their own meat.
Yeah, and I think that's a big selling point for a lot of people who are intimidated by that.
Yeah,
too. So just think about it, and maybe you could offer delivery on these items too. Yeah. And just set it up for these people and talk about it a little bit, and they'll feel more comfortable with it, and then you get good reviews. Like, totally. It's a win-win.
Yep.
Lastly, we're going to talk about selling honey. I save the best for last. And this is one of the things that you can sell, but you need to understand that it takes many years before you see your money back and you can even earn a profit from this. And that's because beekeeping can turn out to be pretty expensive, and it does require your time and knowledge to get good at it. And the equipment, it's so expensive.
Yeah, don't let it... It depends on how quick you jump in or how good your specific year is.
Yeah.
Because the first year, did we sell to anybody? No, we did. That was the first year that we had our farm stand. And we made a killing off of honey.
Yeah.
And the second year, we made a killing off of honey. And last year we just didn't have a very good harvest.
Right.
We weren't selling, but it depends on the year and everything. You can luck out and be making your money right off the bat, but it's not a guarantee.
Yeah. But don't let that discourage you. Just please dip your toes into the understanding that it's harder item to make your money on if you're not as experienced with it, or say like you had a bad year like Steph did last year. And everyone and their dog is looking for raw honey from a local source, and for a good reason. Local raw honey tastes absolutely amazing. And raw local honey also has many health benefits. And if you've been keeping bees for a few years and you'd like to venture into selling, please check out your local state laws in the U.S. or whatever law applies to your country and raw honey. I don't know what it's like for Canada. There was one state where you can only sell raw honey at a farmer's market. So when I looked up the laws, seriously, isn't that weird?
Yeah.
It's so weird to me. But one of those things we don't have control over, so check your laws first. And here in Montana, we're able to just sell honey under the cottage food laws, and the FDA likes you to label items such as honey with a few key points. So number one, you want the name of the food, in this case honey, so write honey on the label. Then you're going to put the net weight. It is good to do ounces and grams, and honestly it makes your packaging look very professional if you have ounces and then right next to it in parentheses grams. That's how I do soap as well.
Right.
And then also you want to put your contact information on there. So you don't have to go crazy with this. You can just put your farm name and your phone number. House phone number is great for that. And the great thing about this is that there's quite a few pre-made labels out there, and I will include a few in the show notes for you just to give you an idea. But don't think that you have to design your own. And we're so lucky to live like in an era we do, because if you go to onlinelabels.com, you can browse so many designs. And if you don't have a printer, you can order your labels directly from Online Labels or buy their stickers and print out and apply yourself. And they're really easy to make. You get 1 year free on their website to design things on their website, and then you can print it at home. It's super easy. And selling honey can just be part of your business model. And you can think about including other things such as lotion bars, beeswax, lip balm, soaps, etc.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
You did honey sticks too.
Honey sticks, yep. Colossal pain in the ass, but people love them.
Yeah.
People love them.
When my twins were little, there used to be a little local store here that would sell honey sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And I would walk there in the stroller with them, walk to the store, get them one honey stick each, and by the time we got back, they weren't crying because they were trying to get the honey out of that honey stick. It was so cute.
Right. Aw. Yeah,
honey sticks.
Honey sticks are great, and you can make them yourselves. It's just drinking straws, an impulse sealer, and a mustard dispenser. Yeah, yeah, it's not hard to make. They're just kind of time-consuming and expensive, but not expensive. Time-consuming and messy.
Messy. Honey is messy.
Yeah. Yeah, bees are great. We're like all in on the bees right now. We've got 8 hives and...
Yeah. You're really going for it.
Going for it. Yeah, I got a brand new suit that fits me and now I'm ready to go.
She's ready to hit the town.
All it took.
Right?
Duck poop.
I'm going to get into that.
With your 2 ducks.
With my 2 ducks.
I really thought this was something you were cooking up.
I only have 2 ducks.
I'm like, okay. Ooh. But they're supportive. Free range, so...
Yeah, I don't know how.
It's not even like you could clean the coop and get the duck poop.
Okay, nope.
Well, Tara's sure going to go work on that.
Right. Which one would you choose if you had to choose to do something for the rest of your life out of our list that we just did? You would do the honey?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I literally wrote this outline and I can't think of anything that I would do. I would sell the compost, actually.
Then you got to take care of all the animals.
I'm already doing that. I might as well just continue.
I am working. Oh, my worms came today. The rest of the farm update. I got another worm set up.
The podcast is bad for us specifically.
Right. Well, the worm bin I had was kind of a loner from a friend. So anyways, I just went in and got my own. I got the contemporary one. Purple, of course. Super cute. But anyways, the worms came.
It's so pretty.
Yeah. And the worms and the bees are giving me so much joy right now. I've decided that's going to be my farm one day.
Just worms and bees.
Just worms and bees.
Speaking it sounds like a compost, rap song.
Do you remember any of the rap?
Wiggle, wiggle.
It gets stuck in my head all day long.
Yeah, I know. It's a good one.
All day long.
It's not even good. It's just...
No, it's just catchy.
In there. Yeah, catchy.
Catchy. Well, Zoom says we're running out of time, so...
Oh, again.
Again.
again. Hey, if anyone wants to pay for our Zoom meetings, that would be great.
Cool.
You can email us at milkmaidspodcast@gmail.com.
Perfect.
Hey, this has been Milkmaids.
Happy milking.
Happy milking. Bye.